Churches and fellowships cannot be more spiritual than the individuals and families that constitute them. God greatly desires a godly home front. These are words of restoration and instruction in righteousness.
Jesus, day after day, I will live for Jesus. Let's come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey, I will live for Jesus, day after day. Day after day, I will live for Jesus. Day after day, I will live for Jesus. Let come what may, thou Holy Spirit, I will obey, I will live for Jesus, day after day. Oh, one more time, I will live for Jesus. Day after day, I will live for Jesus. Let's go what may. Thou Holy Spirit, I will obey, I will live for Jesus, day after day. Almighty God, we thank you again for today. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. We are grateful unto you. We thank you for life. We thank you for peace. We thank you, O Lord, our God, for your mercies that we daily have. We say, our Father, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Who is like unto you? Who is like thee? You are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. We bless you, our God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you again as we come into your world. We say, blessed be your name, our Father. Meet with us, our brethren on Telegram, our brethren on Misla. Lord, meet with us all. Lord, meet with us all. Lord, speak to our situation. Lord, let there be comfort for your people. Let there be edification. Let there be instruction in righteousness. Teach us your path. Grant us understanding. Lighten our darkness. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your name, Holy Spirit. Help us through this meeting again today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our God we praise. For I think the past two weeks now, we have to suspend our talk on the implication of the cross. Fortnight ago, it was a prayer meeting, and we're looking at teach us to number our days. And then subsequently, it was the first Monday in November, and coincidentally, it happened to be my birthday, and we started to look at a reflection on matters of life and direction. So the week preceding the last week of October, that was when we were looking at, in particular looking at the cross, what it means to be crucified with Christ. We're looking at Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not I, but Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave his life for me. That was what we're looking at. And looking at that, which is under the implication of looking at the cross, we have been able to look, we were look considering Romans chapter 6, what it means to die with him. What is that implication for our own life? And that was where we were. Romans chapter 6. We read through that scripture. We're looking at the matter of knowledge. What we saw in that scripture, just trying to do some recollection before we move on today. We'll look at, you know, the being crucified with Christ as a basis of victory over sin. The basis of victory over sin. There are many believers, victory over sin, victory over self, victory over the world. We're saying that that victory is something that the cross made available. And we were looking at Romans chapter 6. We read through, just because it's about 3 weeks ago now, I just want to read through again to remind us of one or two things. And then we now move on from where we stopped 3 weeks ago. Not from where we stopped 3 weeks ago. Let's look at that Romans chapter 6 again. Romans 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Here he was speaking specifically about the victory over sin. But that Romans chapter 6 verse 1 is connected with Romans chapter 5 from verse 11 to verse 20-21 in Romans 5. But my concern is the matter of victory over sin as we look at the cross. So we read, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we had been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that having been raised from the dead, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, ye also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ our Lord. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its laws. And do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin, hallelujah, for sin shall not do what? Have dominion over you. Why? You are not under law, but under grace. Under the dispensation of grace. If sin is having dominion over you, over your life, it is an aberration. It is an aberration. It is not the correct thing. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. Sin can have dominion under the former dispensation. And so the Israelites can continue to, break the law of God. They could not abide by God's law. They were constantly rebelling against God. But the Bible says that is possible under the dispensation, under the law, under grace. When you see a man that sin has dominion over his life under grace, and he's saying, "Don't you understand? That I'm eternally saved. It doesn't matter how I live." He does not understand the dispensation. He doesn't understand it. Under grace, the Bible says what? Sin shall not. Sin shall not have dominion. And that is our focus about this being crucified with Christ. We started 2 weeks ago, actually, the matter of being crucified with Christ. And what we did 3 weeks ago, we tried to look. I said there are three important things that is three things that you also need to overcome flesh. It is those three things you need to overcome the world. It is those three things you need to overcome the devil. But specifically, we are dealing with the matter of sin. Because the matter was flowing from chapter 5. I said one of these days, if the Lord will permit, the discipleship class is going to be a book study. A study on the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a book that if you understand how Paul developed the thesis of our salvation, and you can understand this from Romans chapter 1 verse 18. It climaxes in Romans chapter 12, the last verse. From chapter 13, it's a new subject matter. Chapter 14 is a new subject matter. 15 is a new subject matter. But from Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to Romans chapter 12, the last verse, Paul built everything that has to do with the thesis of our salvation. If anybody can fully understand that, the person will live victoriously. note. So one of these days, we may be having a book study, trying to go through the book of Romans. It's just be sitting down as brethren. We will take assignment. We will just look at it, try to study that book of Romans, verse, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But what we are doing here in chapter 6 was that the Bible was flowing from a matter in chapter 5. But that is not what I want to go into. The matter that was flowing from chapter 5 was actually raised in 6. You know, you must always bear in mind that the Bible don't have chapter and verses before. It was a continuous letter. Somebody came to introduce verses. Another person came to introduce chapter. So those things were introduced later on. If you knock out those chapter and verses, it is just a flow of an idea, a flow of knowledge, a flow of somebody's inspiration by the Holy Spirit. So a matter was flowing from 5. That matter flowed on, and he said, okay, I have said that even where sin abound, grace much more the more abound, so that as sin has reigned, grace should reign to justify us. That's okay. If that is the matter, what shall we say then? Shall we then continue in sin, since grace is abounding? There is a matter of abundance of grace. But that is not what I want to fix this evening. What I want to do is that a matter of sin and grace was coming, and there was a need to understand grace in relation to sin. That if we continue in sin under grace, your life is an aberration. If sin has dominion over your life under grace, your life is an aberration to the work of Christ. Your life is not in agreement with the eternal plan of God for salvation. There is a big contradiction. And what can cause that contradiction was what the Holy Spirit by Apostle Paul was addressing in Romans chapter 6. Basically between verse 1 and verse 14. So when we get to verse 14, he said, sin cannot have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Which means, in the mind of God, when the Bible says that truth and grace, the Bible says the law came through who? Came through Moses. So that what? So that sin can abound. The law was not meant to save anybody. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, so that sin will no longer have dominion over men. If truth and grace abound in a life, it becomes a contradiction. It becomes an impossibility for sin to have dominion. So they are exclusive to one another. They don't go pari passu. They are exclusive. If you are truly under grace, sin cannot have dominion. If sin is having dominion, you have not entered correctly into the dispensation of grace. So if grace is now sin, if grace is sin as God overlooking sin, no matter how we sin, you see, we are in the time of grace, and the sin is continuing, it is complete anti-Bible, anti-the scripture, anti-Christ. That is not the idea of grace. Grace is not make people to be sinning. That is not the idea of grace. That is not the purpose of which grace was released. And the truth is, when the purpose of something is not understood, then abuse becomes what? Inevitable. And that is what is going on. That is why some think that under grace, God is opening our head when we are sinning. God, you know, we are under grace. We are not under God. Don't just kill people like that. It's a time. That is what people are understanding by grace. is an unfortunate sin. That is not the position of the Bible. Yes, mercy have always been. I can tell you people, mercy is not a new thing. Mercy have always been. Only that mercy was revealed in a new way, because this covenant has a mediator. So what we were looking at 3 weeks ago, we had the three things, and what I did that 3 weeks, just trying to remind us, refresh our mind, that 3 weeks, because I think it's a long time, let me just refresh our mind. When we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, I said the matter, the word, no, was used repeatedly. Do we remember now? That was used repeatedly. And how many times? Can we still remember how many times we counted it? Can you remember how many times we counted it? Okay, we cannot remember. Let's look at it again. That was what we did that week. And I don't want to go into repeating everything. You can go and listen to that message of the penultimate Monday in the month of October. Brethren, who are listening to us online, the fullness of that teaching was there. The deep of that teaching is there. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 6, after he said, certainly not, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And I said, the first matter about sin is to understand that the position of your encounter, the position of Jesus in your life, is not that you will die to sin. If that is the understanding you have missed it already. The understanding is that, certainly not, how shall we who died, not that we will die. It is we who died, we have died to it. That is the reality of our life. But that is not our daily experience. Because you see, there's a difference between what Jesus made available for us positionally in Jesus and the reality of our everyday life. And that is why people have problems. If you want what Jesus did for you to become an everyday life reality, then you must look at it, believe it, embrace it, and experience it. But if you are using your experience to measure what Jesus placed, how Jesus placed you, you will never experience what Jesus did for you. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, the matter of a Christian life is not that a Christian will die to sin. That is not the Bible. When we were struggling with some things in our life, when I really gave my life to Christ, and we were struggling with some things, and we were meeting people, we want to stop this. God will help us to die to this thing. So we were hoping that one day we will die to it. We didn't understand that we have died to it. So we were, God will do something. God has done something. In fact, it is finished. There is nothing else God wants to do. And what God did, and He did eternally for us, is that we died to sin. Now, it is in a bit to now explain this matter. When he says certainly not, how can we who die to sin? For example, have you ever seen a dead man and lost him? Have you ever seen a dead man? If you carry 3 million US dollars, look like this before a dead man. Does he have any attraction? Why? He's dead. That is the reality of our life. That is what Jesus has done. But when you look at your everyday experience, is it like that? Is it like that? Brethren, is it like that? You know it's not like that. That should be life experience. Our daily life experience. Now, the point is, how do we transfer? How do we make a reality? This spiritual reality. You see, there is a spiritual reality, and that reality can actually control the physical if we allow it. I hope you are getting it. It was like a statement I made one time when we were talking. If some of us can still remember, I was talking about ledger balance and available balance. When they check the ledger balance of your life, you are dead to sin. But you may not see it available. You may not be seen. So Paul dealt with three things in this place. It is those three things that is the amplification of being crucified with Christ. When you say, I am crucified, what you are saying by implication, that's what you are saying. So it is those three things that I was dealing with, and I dealt with one of them, which is the matter of no. When you look at that, I said, how shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? He began. He said, if you still continue in sin, he said, don't you know? It means if sin continue, if you are not dead to it, it's just a matter of knowledge. If they continue, you don't know. Who don't you know? So, it is telling you that it's not a matter of struggle. It's not a matter, and that is where many believers are. They are struggling. They are struggling. They are struggling. I remember this. We talked recently again. That is after almost about 13 years after. I met him when he was just entering into the university. And I was handling the foundation class. I was handling the new creation realities. I talk about if any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. And as I was dealing with that, the first thing I was going to make the person see, I was just teaching the class. And I gave the testimony of how when we came to Jesus, some habits were there. We were now we conquer it. And we were told, and we were trying fasting and prayer. We were praying, Father, make me a new creature. I become a new creature. I receive it. Lord. After the 7 days prayer, or 8 days prayer, or 9 days prayer, or fasting, we still find that we did not die. The matter still continued. Until one day, when the Lord opened our eyes to say, are you in Christ? And I said, yes. He said, so which new creation are you praying about? I said, you are asking me to make you when I have made you. You have made me again. Check. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. So, you know the way it came? Only Adura Iyawo Nungba. So the Yoruba, Adura Iyawo, Adura Iya. You know, some prayers are foolish prayers. Because they are not according to the will of God. They will be looking like humble prayer. They will be looking like very sanctimonious and, God, change me. God, make me a new creature. It's looking like a very good prayer. But it's the prayer of an ignoramus person. So I was just handling that matter with the youth that day. And the young man, after the meeting, came to meet me. He said, sir, you have pointed, you said we should stop struggling. The day we stop struggling and we start believing, we will be free. Sir, I don't understand. You see, sir, I have been struggling with masturbation as a Christian. My pastor have laid his hand on my head. He has prayed all manners of prayer and they have casted out all the devils. But I still realize, a few weeks after, I'm back into it. I was told it is by fasting and prayer. I have done all the fasting, he says, sir, now that I've resumed school. I'm still struggling with it. But you simply said, we need to stop struggling and believing. So I now took time to explain. It was just one meeting. That's the mystery of that meeting. I just had to explain these things to him briefly. And I left the young man. Then he was in 100 level. He met me, that left. I think about 6 months after. He just came to me. He said, sir, the thing worked. I said, what worked? He said, sir, ha. That thing you told me. That the victory is in the cross. I should just believe that if I keep looking at that Jesus has set me free, I'm no man bound. And I was just looking. I was even thinking, you know, the first day did not come. I was waiting for the second day whether it will come. But somehow, when he comes, he said, no, I'm a new creature. You can't hold me. I just felt that I did not do it. He come again. I stood by it. I'm a new creature. You can't hold me. He come all these weeks. I wanted to be sure whether it has gone. But since I've not done it for almost 6 months, that's why I came now to tell you that I am now victorious. It was just 20 minutes counsel. You know, after meeting, that was all. But it is the matter we are trying to place, trying to expatiate and expand, that you look at that, he said, oh, do you not know? Abi, which means, if the deal is there, the first fundamental problem is knowledge. And when you look at it, he said, oh, do you not know? In verse 3. When you read on again, if you're looking at that, we mentioned it 3 times. When you look at it again, verse 4, no, it's not there. Verse 5, no, it's not there. When he got to verse 6 again, what did he say? Knowing this. And when you look at this, knowing there is something you must be knowing this, for the victory to be continuous, there is a knowing. I said, talk about knowing again in the verse 6. And then when you move on again to the verse 9, look at it again. Knowing that, I said the matter of knowing. When you look at, I said there are 3 things here. Know, reckon, yield. Those are the 3 things. Know, reckon, yield. But if you look at yield and reckon, they were not emphasized as knowing. Because until you know, there's nothing to reckon. If you don't know, please, if you don't know that in your ledger balance now, there is 3 million naira to take care of your expense to the end of the month of November, you did not know. But the money was transferred, is in your ledger balance. Please, will you be able to do anything about it? How will you still be living? You will be living as though it does not exist. So, the point I'm making is, I was making then was that when you don't know, it is also as good as it does not exist. It's as good as that. And then I said, what I said then too is that knowing is so crucial, that it is by way of knowing that you can be able to enjoy the things that are given unto you. That was what took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, I'm just trying to move, jump, try to recollect that teaching so that we can really bring everything together. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Please look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The matter of knowing. This matter of knowing. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except what? Except what? Except what? Christ and what?" That is the totality of the gospel. Christ died. Christ was crucified and resurrected. Anything that is not centered on that is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. "I was between weakness in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with persuasive word of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are matured." And I was praying then that I pray that may you begin to grow to maturity in the name of Jesus. Where you are matured, may you increase in that maturity. Where you are an infant, may you begin to enter into maturity in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we speak wisdom among those who are matured. Yet, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the ruler of this age, which is coming to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God. In what? In what? A mystery. What is he trying to say? The wisdom of God requires what? And when you say we speak it in a mystery, what is he saying? What is he saying? That the wisdom of God requires what? Inspiration. It requires revelation. In other words, if you carry the Bible, and are reading the Bible, student of the Bible, CRUK, theology, what you will get is Bible knowledge. You will not get the knowledge of God. The wisdom we are talking about does not come by intelligence. It's not how intelligent or how analytical. No. It is rather what? Inspirational and revelational. That's why I say we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It is something that must be revealed before it can be known. And nobody can reveal except the Spirit of God. So without the encounter of God's Spirit, nobody can really get this wisdom that we are talking about. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Not the wisdom that comes from academic intelligence. Not the wisdom that comes from critical analysis or logical reasoning. We speak a wisdom in a mystery. And that is the wisdom of God. That is what we're talking about in knowing. You have not got seen this wisdom that comes by revelation. When he said, "Do you not know?" It's not just knowing. As in reading Bible and say Jesus died on the third day. There are 1,001 people who know that Jesus died on the third day, but they don't know salvation. Am I correct? They don't know salvation. But now, I remember that when we were growing up there, there's also the contestation of the cross. And they would paint everything for us. They will take us in there, they even do a drama on Bethlehem. I was born, we showed the three wise men, brought their gift, everything, but we were not saved. Why? Because something has not been revealed. Something has not been revealed. That's what I was emphasizing there. He said, the hidden wisdom which is ordained before the ages for our world. I said this was for our glory. There is a wisdom that is ordained for your glory. If you don't get into that wisdom, you will never be glorified. That is the truth about it. There is a wisdom that is ordained for your glory. And that wisdom is hidden in God. Until that wisdom is revealed to you, you can never be glified. Once you'll be doing, you'll be living outside glory. You will not live a glorious life. And when I'm talking about a glorious life, what first make a life glorious? It's not material thing, it's victory over sin. And that's why I tell people, the worth of a man should never be measured by the material substance that surrounds him. The Lord said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. If you want to know what a man worth, don't consider what are his possessions. That is to consider about what is the worth of a man. And so there is something about the Lord, that is the wisdom of God, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, we would have crucified the King of Glory. Which means that wisdom is hidden in Jesus being crucified and resurrected. Is that not the truth? That is where the wisdom is. If they knew that the workings of that thing is not, if they have known that it is inside that thing that the working is, they will allow him to continue to live. All those principalities and powers that walk around to make sure that Jesus was crucified, they will have done everything. No, preserving, he must not die. And the God will be looking for how he will crucify. And that is why when somebody said, when I look intimately at the scripture, I think Satan is God's servant. He said, don't you see that? With all his sabi-sabi, with all his running around, he's just a tool in the hand of God to accomplish the purposes of God. When he said that, he said, don't you see it? Then what is there to be feared? What is there to be feared in the devil? Who can ever outsmart my father? All I need to know is to be properly connected to my father. That is all I need. What is there to fear in the devil that is constantly outsmarted by your father? Is there anything to fear in him? But there's something to fear today. Why? Because you are not connected with the father. You are running the race by your wisdom. You are running it by your strength. What is there? They will not have crucified. But as it is written, I have not seen, yet I have not heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things which God has revealed to those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. So I said, it is a, this thing, for you to know them, it has to be a word, a matter of revelation. By what? By the spirit of God. He said, for the spirit of Jesus, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And the Bible now says, that was what we stopped that penultimate Monday of October. That was where we stopped. So now we have received. Hallelujah. We have received. Brethren, it's not that we will receive, not that we may receive, not that we will be receiving, but that what? We have received. What? Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why did the Holy Spirit? That we might do what? That we might do what? What do you see there? That we might know. So I was telling, and I made that statement that day, that Monday. I said the fundamental thing about the Holy Spirit is not the sign of tongue speaking. The fundamental reason why you see the Holy Spirit is for you to know your inheritance in Jesus. When somebody there says, and he doesn't know what has been given to him, I tell him that, look, bro, you are operating outside the fullness of what you have been given. You are like somebody who was given a phone. And all you can do with the phone is to make call and send text. You don't know that you can take camera, you can do so many other things. There are so many things you can do with it. You don't know that you can go on internet, you don't know all those things. Please, if all that you can do with phone is just to make call and see text messages, please, how are you using that phone? You don't know you can go on internet on the phone. They say, internet, is it on phone? How do they do it? What do you call that person on phone? Is that person illiterate? You tell the person what you need is palanca. Go and get a... Am I not correct? You don't need this thing in your hand. And that's what I meant to say. The fundamental thing about the Holy Spirit is not just come to be using the sign. Tongue is a sign. Tongue is not the thing. I see president jumping in fellowship. Please, there's nothing wrong about that. Because sometimes people normally misunderstand me when I speak. So sometimes I always try to come back to explain what I'm trying to say.
So that when I emphasize something, people think that one is not important again. That's not true. When we are teaching about the word of God, the importance of the word of God, we were so much teaching it and we think that it's so much important to pray. Ah, no, that's not what the person is saying. But we have to pray again. So this they work in a balance. They work in a balance. But we are saying that he said we have received that spirit. That's why I stopped that Monday, so that you may know. If you are not knowing that you have not received that spirit, or you don't know why you received that spirit, or you are not operating the fullness of that spirit, I don't know. Or you received the spirit of this one, not the spirit that came from God. You know, sometimes they tell you, somebody was telling me that he said his own tongue was taught to him. He said somebody taught him how to be. Somebody said, it's not something you need to be taught. So maybe that means maybe you didn't receive the spirit that comes from God. Maybe you see the spirit of the world. But I am telling you, I am assuring you, if you have received the Holy Spirit that makes you to cry, Abba Father, then you have all it takes to say, God, it has been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Lord, my heritage in Christ. Look, the Bible says he has blessed us. Not that he will bless us, but he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that are in the heavenly places. We are blessed people. We have been blessed with it. But where are they? Where are these things? They are in the ledger balance. They are in the ledger balance. How do you bring it to the available balance? Paul was addressing the matter of knowledge. He makes reference to knowledge 3 times. Or don't you know, knowing this, knowing that, the first one, or don't you know, the second one, knowing this, the third one, knowing that, there is a knowing. How do we know? And I was trying to explain the knowing that day, that we knowing is about a revelation. It's about, I took us, you said that one in Ephesians chapter 1 from 15 to verse 18. He says, in this, since I heard of your faith, I did not cease to pray for you, that the God of our Father will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the light of God, so that your eyes of understanding might be what? Might be open. That is the one we are talking about. If your eyes of understanding, if they are not open, you have not entered the knowledge that we are talking about. You are still having Bible knowledge. You are having knowledge of the Bible, not the knowledge of your inheritance. The knowledge of your inheritance is the revelation of the Spirit, and you have been given that Spirit. All you need is a fellowship with that Spirit. Because if you don't know, you can never ever have victory over sin. You will struggle till you will die. You will struggle, and then you will start telling people, you know, we are all sinners. You know, if God is so maxing, we will be justified. You know, we are Nigerians. Only God can help us not to tell lies. Except God help us. Not compromise. We will survive in this nation. If you don't come, there must be some compromise. There is your law. God, that's how you will be talking. That's how you will be talking. Your mind will not go to the fact that it was even under the law that there was a Job, that Satan had nothing to condemn. You will not see that one. Your eyes will not see that it was even under the law that Satan created an Abednego, dared the world ruler. Your eyes will not go to that one. You have to go you see. That's where you are, and that is how you will die in your sin. You know, sometimes people teach their defeat as the gospel. And it's a terrible thing. If you have not attained unto something, say you have not attained unto it. Don't say that this is where it stops. Where the bus stop is, was what Jesus said. When a student is matured, come like what? His master. Because if there is a constant remembrance of sin, then we are not under another testament. It was because of the constant remembrance of sin that God had to cancel the old one. That's why I say you are no more under law. There must not be a constant remembrance of sin under grace. And it's not because people have so much strength, but it's because people have so much what? So much what? So much understanding. And I want to say something here. I want to say something here. Quickly here. In this Romans chapter 6. He says, now, after that, please, look at something. I want you to look at something. In verse 13. After, you know, please, let me connect something to this place. You know, he has said earlier that what eyes have not seen, is that not? What ears have not heard, what have not entered into the heart of man, is what God did what? Prepare for those who love him. Isn't it? Now, he now said those things, we have received the Spirit of God so that we can know them. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, but please, don't forget that he has mentioned that this thing that God prepared, they have to do with what? With the knowledge of God. The wisdom of God is a mystery. Please don't forget that. Now, where I am going to, where I am going to is this. When it goes to the verse 12, he said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, when you now go to 13, please note something in 13. He said, these things that God prepared, which eyes have not seen, which ears have not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, that God prepared for them that love him. He gave us his spirit that we may know these things. Isn't it? When he came to verse 13, he now gave us a clear understanding of the great import of knowledge, the place of knowing. Because you must not forget, he said, you will know the truth, and what? It will set you free. Look at what he now said. Please, is there any other rendering of this thing? Can we try some other translation? Is there any other rendering of this first statement of verse 13? Look in this that I'm reading, says, these things we also speak. Any other rendering of that statement? Can we try some other translation? How does NIV, NLT, Amplified put that matter? Can we have rendering? Can we have some reading? Please, if you want to read, please come and pick the mic. Just go to ask the reading of that. Does that first line? These things we also speak. Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Any other ending, please let's have from us, from the congregation. Amplify.
And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom.
That's verse 13.
Yes.
The first statement.
Yes.
He said what?
And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom.
We are setting these truths forth. Abi?
Yes.
The first here is what? F-O-R-U-T-H.
Yes.
That is presenting it. Is that not? Presenting it in words. We present it in words. We are presenting it. So, when you are presenting something, what are you doing? You are speaking it. What of NLT? We have NLT. Can we have the rendering?
When we tell you these things, we do not use words.
No. When we do what?
When we tell you.
Do you see it again? Tell.
What I'm talking about is that, do you know that those things that God has prepared, that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that have entered into the heart of men, they are not things we eat. They are not things we wear. They are not things we ride. They are things we walk. We speak. What I'm trying to make you understand is this. Those things that God has prepared for you. Listen to me. Those things God has prepared for you. Those things, they are spiritual things. Those spiritual blessings, they have physical implications. For example, your soul that you prosper, even as your soul prosper. You get the point I'm making? By his stripes, we were healed. Healing is not something spiritual, it's something physical. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? Having prosperity in your head, prospering physically, is something material. But what I'm trying to make you see, that the link between whatever material thing God wants to do in your life that he has prepared for you is a revelation. I don't know whether you're understanding me. What God prepared for you, there are spiritual things, that when you begin to speak them, they will not have what? Physical manifestation. So until a man can see them and speak them, he cannot have them. Once you cannot see them and you cannot present them for, you cannot say no. I am a new creature. You cannot say no. I know. By stress, I am in. Once you cannot speak them for, you cannot have them. Look at them. You must be able to speak them. You must be able to present them for. And that is why you come back again to scriptures. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the universe was what? Was framed by the word of God. And that word was God, was not the one that God did not speak. It was this one. It was the one. Bible says, he spoke and what happened? It was done. He commanded and what happened? They stood fast. Psalm 33. He spoke. It was not the one that God did not speak. When you go to when you go to Psalm 103, he said what? He sent forth his word. It was the one that is what? That he sent. The one that was sent, the presented one, there must be, I keep telling you, if there is no knowing, there is no victory. And what I'm trying to make you see is that while we are talking about knowing as a victory over sin, do you know that if you cannot conquer sin, let me give you a good example. When you keep struggling with sin, what did the Bible say? Righteousness exalts a nation. What is sin? Where will the life of a man be? The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. When a man don't have victory over sin, what happens to his way? Are you understanding me? So what I'm going to say is that there is a strong connection. There is a powerful connection. And let me show you from what happened in Adam.
Do you notice? The only thing that happened in Adam was that Adam died. Every other thing that happened to Adam, they were a matter of consequences. Am I correct? Every other thing that happened, there were consequences. That sin began to reign. That spirit of self-justification. That they were now sweating. That they were now dying. That there was now sickness. That there were now all those things. They were what? They were consequences of only one thing. The only problem man need to solve is the problem of life. Once life is operating, don't forget, the word which I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. Once God begin to reveal things to you and is speaking to you, once you can solve the matter of life, the consequences will be over. It was life that left, that brought everything that we were seeing. How will life return? Jesus said, the word which I speak unto you. So it means when a man cannot come to the place of knowing, to the place of if the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, when a man cannot come to that point, when you begin to think that everything about God is busy, like busy with church activities, running around, and you see that the word is about God, that is nonsense. Activities should be a consequence of a life that is operating in a man. The activity is not the life. I don't know whether I'm also trying to make something clear. So you don't leave here again and say, I heard a message. Any activity in church is nonsense. What I am saying, I'm making very clear, is that what God prepared for your glory is not first an activity. It is first a revelation. Those things that God prepared for you, everything put together, because you must understand that from birth to death, God commands your destiny. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? So, no scheme of man, no power of hell can pluck me from his hand. Because from birth to death, he commands my destiny. In fact, that's why ever before we came to Christ, he has been arranging and preserving and making sure we come. Do you agree with me? When we don't even know anything, but we're not looking for God. We were busy fornicating, living our life. It was because he commanded our destiny from birth to death. The Bible made us to know that when we find ourselves inside the kingdom, we should understand that he foreknew us before the beginning of time. Is that not the Bible? Before we come inside, it is whosoever believes. But once you find yourself inside, you should understand that before the foundation of the world, he has foreordained you to himself. And one thing I was telling somebody, I said, look, it was in eternity that our life was determined. If you truly understand eternity, you will know that eternity, time, is a small fraction of eternity. Our life was determined eternally. And then we come into time to spend time, to enter back into eternity. I said, actually, if you really understand this, and you get a correct interpretation, you will know that as long as you live as a citizen of that kingdom, there is nothing in time that can affect where you are going. Because where you are going is not a matter of time. It's a matter of eternity. So, having understanding. What I'm trying to push forth, in addition to what we have said that Monday, what I'm trying to add today is this thing that I'm exposing now. That brethren, you need to get something clear. This matter of knowing, if you don't solve it, if you don't solve this matter of knowing, then I want to tell you, you can never ever live the Christian life. And let me tell you one truth. My knowing and understanding of the cross does not solve your own problem. That's the reality. That's why I tell people there are not two saviors. I'm just Brother Wole, saved by Christ. You are Brother Ashew, saved by Christ. I'm not Brother Wole, the savior. So that if you don't connect to him to yourself, your life will just be wasted. It's about him. And the connection I am pushing so much today about the cross is that there is something about the cross that requires what? A revelation. The matter of the cross is a matter of knowing. It's not a matter of an activity. Activity will follow. I am committed to the fellowship I attend. I don't know whether you can be more busy in your fellowship than the way I'm busy in my fellowship. So don't think I'm not busy in a fellowship. Don't think I'm not committed to a local assembly. I am committed to a local assembly. In fact, today, since 10 o'clock to 4:30, it was an activity in my church that kept me busy. So don't think I'm against activity, but I am trying to expand and explain something. That what God has prepared for you is not about an activity, it's about a revelation. It is something you must sit down with, and if you don't sit down with it, to the point that you can present it, hallelujah, you can tell it, hallelujah, you can speak it, you can never possess it. Because it was until he spoke, nothing was done. And that is why the Bible says what? What did the Bible say? About the name of Jesus? Say, whosoever shall call, there is a speaking. Am I correct? Again, the Bible says, with the heart, man believe unto righteousness. But what did he say again? There must be a mouth. There must be a speaking. If that thing has not come to a point where you have seen it, you have received it, and please, I want to beg you, it's not what a man can do for you. Paul plants, Apollo waters. It is only God that can give increase. It's God that can do it. The Bible says there's a spirit in man, Job 32 verse 8. So there's a spirit in man. It is the inspiration of the Almighty that gives him understanding. You must cry. It is your inheritance. You must cry to God. No, the matter of the cross is first a matter of knowing. A knowing that is by revelation. A knowing that is by an inspiration. Lord, I am not a spiritual bastard. Baba, open my eyes to see. Cause my ears to hear. Cause my mind to perceive. Peace that you have prepared for me that is in that cross. But then we close the meeting here today. I want you to talk to the Lord. I want you to talk to the Lord. It is something that is lost. You must be able to see it. You must be able to hear it. You must be able to speak it. And then it becomes lost. We are talking about victory over sin. He said, all you did not know. When you sleep, it's not like you have died to sin. You cannot know. That knowing is a rational knowing. Until it becomes revelation, it cannot become a reality. It's a revelational knowing. I'm going to talk to the Lord. It is God that gives increase. Lord Jesus, give me increase. Lord Jesus, give me increase. Lord, increase, 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 increase. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, open my eyes, open my mind, open my understanding. I need to see, I need to hear, I need to, I'm able to speak. Oh, I must speak it. So these things we speak. 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 It is when we speak it that we can see them. It is when we speak them that we can experience them. It is when we speak them that we cannot begin to wear them. We cannot begin to eat them. We cannot begin to rule by them. We cannot begin to ride them. We cannot begin. It is when we there must be a speaking. Let me invite Sister Comfort to close this meeting for us at 6:30.
Lord, we are grateful because your word is true. Thank you for the truth of your word that you have sent to us again today. You sent forth your word to heal them and to deliver them from their destructions. Lord, pray this word deliver us from every form of destructions in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it heal us from the blindness of our minds in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we are praying, O Lord, that our mind will be open to this truth. And then we receive the experiential understanding of what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If the matter of sin have been dealt away with, every other consequences cannot stand. And so, Father, we stand upon this full work of Calvary that you did several years ago for us. We are saying, O Lord, because the matter and the problem of sin have been solved, every consequences that is associated with it, that is still manifesting in our lives, let them find their way out now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, Father, expound this matter in our minds.
Amen.
Cause us to see this light much more brighter than we are seeing now.
Amen.
So that, Lord, we might enter into it in all fullness.
Amen.
Thank you for hearing us pray.
Thank you
for your son that you have used again, that you have flowed through. We are asking the Lord continually, O Lord, you will cause his eyes to be brighter in your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the truth of your word be real in his own life, so that, Lord, we have the testimonies to share in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord.
This message is coming to you from Family Tent Ministry, a Christian ministry involved in enriching the lives of singles and marriage through preaching and teaching of God's Word, discipleship, family life enrichment, social and community development, and mission aid. Our regular activities are discipleship class every Monday, 5 p.m. Adolescents and Singles Club every first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Marriage Forum second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Family Life Seminars, regular school outreaches, and everyday counseling. For further counseling, you can reach us at our location, Life Camp by the First Bridge, Ilere Community, opposite the Rejoy Filling Station along Ijare Road, Akure, Ondo State, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our social media handles, familytent@yahoo.co.uk, familytentministry01@gmail.com, www.familytentministry.org. Our phone numbers are 0833861136, 0703613848. God bless you.